Back to 1 Corinthians 13. We've looked at this over a dozen times together, and yet we would do well to look at it constantly, wouldn't we? Constantly, over and over again. We need to learn this. We need this written on our hearts, and each time I look at it, I feel like I learn something. I hope I do. I listened to a message by him on this text today. I wanted to hear what he had to say, and I'm glad I did. I was blessed by it. There were some in every place who challenged him being an apostle. In Corinth especially, some men came in and were saying, you know, that he wasn't an apostle and that these men had gifts and so forth, and challenged him, and he had to defend himself. And he's talking about these apostles and so forth. He says up there in chapter 12, verse 29, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracle? No. God does give those gifts, and it's wonderful. And it's Ephesians 4. Christ, when he ascended up on high, he gave gifts to men. Apostles and prophets and apostles and so forth. Evangelists, pastors, teachers. And he talked about different ministries there in chapter 12. Giving was a ministry, and how that all should seek in some way to serve. Verse 31, he says, covet the best gift. Covet those gifts. Ask the Lord to let you be of some service. It is a wonderful thing to preach and to teach. It's a wonderful thing. It's a good thing. But, he says, I'm going to show you something better than all that. Something that everyone doesn't have the gift to stand up and speak or whatever, play the piano or whatever, okay? But all of God's people who have the love of God shed abroad in their hearts, they have this gift called love. Love is not something you have to strive to obtain. It's something God sheds abroad in your heart. You either have or you don't. It's a possession. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's the first fruit. And everyone has this. And he says, this by love, serve one another. And this is what he's going on to tell us all. To exhort all of us to grow in this grace. The grace of love. The gift of love. Use it. Use it. Ask the Lord to enable you to use it. More good can be accomplished by this thing of love. He said in verse 1, though I speak with the tongue of men and of angels and have not charity or love, I'm a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. I may talk a good talk, and a lot of people do. But without love, that's all it is. It's hollow. It's empty talk. That's all it is without this love. Verse 2, he says, though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries, or think I do. You know, Paul did say, if any man thinketh he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing, yet as he ought to know. Be not many masters, or don't be a master. Don't think you know everything, he said. But though we may think we do, and have the gift of prophecy and understand mysteries and all knowledge and doctrine, though I know doctrine, know scriptures, can quote scriptures, and can preach well, or think I can. And verse 2 says, though I have all faith, though I do seemingly wonderful works that men are impressed by in the eyes of men, and remove mountains, I have not charity, love, I'm nothing. I'm no value to anybody. No value. I thought about myself here. If I preach this message well, and yet it does this, I don't learn from it. I'm Mr. Sounding Brass, aren't I? I'm thinking of something. If I don't show it, if I preach it well and don't show it, you do like the Lord said about the Pharisees. Do what they say, but don't do what they do. Verse 3, he says, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned, I become a martyr, and have not love or charity, it profiteth me nothing. It gives me no title to heaven. Though I do many humanitarian works, even die for the faith or as a martyr, without this love, I'm nothing. No title to heaven, no good to anybody or anything. That makes it serious, doesn't it? Now, this message, I mentioned, you know, I was going to deal with it Sunday. And talking to one of the brethren, and he, you know, hung his head. And we all do when we think about this. We immediately think, oh, my, I've come so short of that. Well, yes, so do I. How do you think I feel? I've got to teach it. And I'm less than the least. I mean that. But that's precisely why we look at it. Because we come so far short. We need to learn, don't we? That's precisely. If we didn't need this, don't need to look at it, do we? If it didn't convict us, well, oh my. If the Word of God ceases to convict us, we're in bad shape, aren't we? We're in bad shape. So this is not to discourage, but rather encourage. This is not to discomfort, but give comfort, to exhort us, and that we might learn and grow. It's the desire of every true child of God to grow in the grace of love, isn't it? Huh? Don't you? Like our God loves us. Listen to 1 John 4. Brethren, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. How? Like He loved us. Christ said, this is my commandment. One of the last things He said before He went to the cross to His disciples, to us. This is my commandment. Not good advice. It's not just good counsel. This is my commandment. That you love one another. How? As I have loved you. We've got a long way to go. So it's good that we studied it. How important is this? I've never really thought of this in reference to 1 John. I didn't write the verse down. Chapter says, he that loveth not knoweth not God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God. 1 John 4, 8. That is, loveth not like this. That's how serious it is. Love like this. He that loveth not, knoweth not God. And none do perfectly, except our Lord, huh? And His perfect love casts out our fear. And so He gives us this word to grow, but thereby. Listen, let me read you some scripture. You don't have to turn. But you know these verses. Ephesians 1, he says, He's chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Before Him in love. He did it in love, and that we might be in love with Him, with His people. Listen to this. It says, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, you being rooted and grounded in love. In love. Listen to this. To know the love of Christ. To know the love of Christ. Listen to this. He says, speaking the truth in love. That's how we're to speak the truth. That's how I'm to speak the truth. Listen to this. That we might edify, that the body might make increase of itself in love. We edify one another in love. Build up one another. Listen to this. Be followers of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. So that's how important it is. On and on it goes. You remember this? He said, this I pray that your love may abound more and more. And I could go on and on. So that's how vital it is. He that loveth not, like this, knoweth not God. Knoweth not God. All right. All right, here's the description. Here's the character that our Lord gives of true love. And we look at our Lord as He loved us, don't we? This way. Verse 4. Charity. And by the way, the charity is the word. What do you think of when you think of charity? When we say charity, what are we talking about? Giving. Aren't we? Well, that's a good word. It says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and with what? Gave himself. So they're synonymous. Love is gives. Love gives itself. Love seeks to bestow the best it has on the object of its affection. End of quote. Seeks to bestow the best it has on the object of its affection. Love, charity, suffereth long, is patient with the faults of others, puts up with. Oh my. How long suffering is our Lord with us? Peter said it this way. You need to account that the long suffering of the Lord is salvation. That He's going to put up with us. Suffer long until the day we die. He's going to suffer with us. How long must I suffer with you? He said, oh, you have little faith. That's not the right attitude. But like a father who loves his children, having loved his own, he loved them to the end. Suffered long. Put up with the faults. Patient with the loved one. Love is kind. Verse 4. Love is kind. Merciful. The word mercy and kind go together. Kindness. Tender. Compassionate. How? The Lord calls His mercies tender mercies. Tender mercies. The Lord is merciful, full of mercy. The Lord is so kind. He's so kind. He said, be merciful as your Father in heaven is merciful. Be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, forbearing one another. Paul wrote. Love envieth not. Verse 4. Love envieth not. Real love doesn't envy the prosperity or the good of the one you love. It prefers it. Well, Mike, what if Davis has more than you and is more talented than you and on it goes. Can you envy somebody you love? No, you want that. You prefer that. You rejoice over the prosperity of a loved one. That's love. Love envieth not. Envy is another word for wickedness is what it is. Wickedness. Another word for jealousy. It's another word for self-love. I want that. Why should they have that? It's horrible. It's ugly, isn't it? Ugly. Like little children. Little children see something. And that's our old nature. Like a little child sees something another child had. They have plenty, but yet see that. They want that. Envy. Another word for covetousness. It's wicked. Envy. My. Love vaunteth not itself. vaunteth not itself. You know, self-love loves to talk about itself. People that love themselves love to talk about themselves. Do you love people like that? Nobody loves to be around somebody that loves to talk about themselves. And I know some older men that are such good examples in this. That if, I don't know if I've learned, but watching them as they're interested in other people. And that shows love, doesn't it? That you're genuinely interested in somebody beside yourself. If you hate yourself, you shouldn't find anything interesting about yourself. This is love. It doesn't vaunt self. Love is not puffed up. Not puffed up. Listen to Romans 12. Listen to what he says here. Romans 12, verse 3. He says, I say through the grace of God given unto me, every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but think soberly. Think right thoughts of yourself. How's that? Low. Real low. Listen to this. He said, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love in honor, preferring one another. If we really prefer one another, if we really prefer one another, esteeming others better than ourselves, we won't be envious, will we? We won't be envious. We won't vaunt ourselves. You say, listen, what about you? Say, oh, let's not talk about that. Let's talk about you. Let's talk about the Lord. And there's one, you know, there's one thing that keeps us from all of this. One thing, self-love. It's another word for self-righteousness. And only when self-love dies will this true love grow. And there's only one way for that to happen. Look to Christ. Not only look to Christ for help. Lord, kill self in me. Kill this self-love in me. Kill this self-righteousness in me. Make me love my brother. But also, seeing Him love as He loved us, that'll kill self-love. It's the only thing that will. The only thing that will kill self-love. His selfless, sacrificial love. When He loves the unlovely like us, we shouldn't have any trouble loving someone just like us. When He could love a worm, we sing that song, how can it be that Thou, my God, should love a soul like me? When we consider that He would love such an unlovely wretch as us, like Gomer. I keep bringing up Gomer. I guess I'm preaching it bits and pieces, aren't I? But Hosea, the Lord said to Hosea, go down and love that forlorn woman. She doesn't love you. But you go love her. She's unlovely. She's ugly. She's ugly. She's sold to sin. You go down and you love her. That's the love. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. And that old picture of Hosea and Gomer is Christ's love for His church, isn't it? My, my. So that's the only thing that will keep us from being puffed up and vaunting ourselves and being envious and so forth. Verse 5 in our text. Verse 5. Love doth not behave itself unseemly. Now, I started this by saying this is not to discourage anyone. Because if it did, I'd be the most discouraged fellow here. All right? I wouldn't deal with this. I would not deal with this. This is not saying that someone who never does these things, all right, never does these things. It's talking about someone that's the tenor of their life, right? That describes their character: envious, covetous, puffed up. Oh no, that's not God's people. But they do act like that sometimes, don't they? Huh? Who doesn't? Who can say they don't? Who can say they have not behaved themselves unseemly at times? Huh? Who can say that? Not anybody in here. Starting with me. Nevertheless, this is the rule. This is the goal. This is the lesson. Love doth not behave itself unseemly. What that means is, not rude and inconsiderate and disrespectful and discourteous. You know, we ought to greet and treat people like we would have them greet and treat us. I'll tell you how we ought to greet and treat people. Like that little granddaughter of mine does when she sees me. That's right. When she sees me, she acts like I've made her day. She's so excited. And vice versa. Well, greet one another with a holy kiss. It's so good to see you. Long time no see. Well, it's just Sunday. Well, it's been too long. And salute. You know, the word salute means say goodbye. Salute one another like it's the last time. It has been the last time, hasn't it, for brothers and sisters? And it will be the last time. And we don't know when the last time will be. And every one of us have regrets about people, don't we? Like to do something over again. Well, just as a parent would tell his child, behave yourself. Love is not discourteous, not rude, moodiness. But that's another word for self-love. I'm not happy, and I don't want anybody else to be happy till I'm happy. Moodiness. You know, we shouldn't make everybody, because we're miserable, that gives us no right to make everybody else miserable. No, I remember Bob and Carrie, you know, Bob and Becky, my sister, I told you this, but their daughter, when she was a real young girl, just, 3 years old, 4 years old, maybe Isabella's age, came down to bad mood, you know, woke up on the wrong side of the bed, which is both sides if you're a son of Adam. She came downstairs and my sister, such a good parent, she said, Carrie Grace, you don't have any right to make us unhappy. We're her happy. You go back upstairs and don't come down until you're happy. Or at least acted like it. And she learned that lesson. You know, Carrie, you'll rarely see her without a smile on her face. Does she have trials? She lost that mother I was talking about when she was just a girl. Of course she does. But she learned that lesson. Don't behave yourself like you're unseemly, moody and depressed and unhappy and all. Our purpose is to make other people happy. That's right. Life doesn't exist. This is a lesson we need to teach our babies, don't we? Life doesn't exist for you. This world doesn't revolve around you. There's millions of others. It's not about you. And the quicker we all learn that, babies and adults, the quicker we learn that, it's not about me. God put me here not for my happiness, but to serve His cause, His people. And that's happiness. Our Lord said, it's more blessed. Blessed means happy. It is more blessed. And He knows. He's that blessed man in Psalm 1. It's more blessed, more happy. You want happiness? Here's how you have it, He said. It's more blessed to give than to receive. You want to receive happiness? Give it. You'll get it back. That's from wisdom. That's wisdom from above. Love doth not behave itself unseemly. Our Lord had the weight of the world on His shoulders. He was facing Calvary. Facing hell. And was all the time saying, be of good cheer. Wasn't He? All the time, wasn't He, gay? Facing hell. Be separated from His Father. The weight that we know, we all have responsibilities and troubles and things that weigh us down, don't we? And that's generally what causes us to be sulky and moody and all that. The Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all, and it recoiled His nature, recoiled against it. He was facing that from the day he was born. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, facing that. We can't even enter into that. I can't describe it. And yet, he was all the time, peace. Be of good cheer. Be of good comfort. It's okay. What have I got to cry about? And he was doing that to take away all my sin, to take away death, so that I have eternal happiness. Love does not behave itself unseemly. Christ is love personified. He did not behave himself rude, inconsiderate. His whole being was pitiful and courteous and kind and considerate and preferring others and serving others and so on. Right? That's him. That's him. My, even though the weight of the world was on his shoulder. Love seeketh not her own. Verse 5. Seeketh not her own. I like what, and I never thought of it in this respect, but Brother Mahan brought this out. He said, love has to have somebody to share, to show love, to share things with, to do things with. That's what love loves. Love loves fellowship. You can't be alone. Love can't be alone. Love can't be alone. The nature of it is that you've got to have an object. Unless you really love yourself. And that's mighty poor company. You don't want to spend... That's bad company. And everything's more enjoyable together. That's why the Lord generally blesses us. Mostly blesses us when we're together as a group, doesn't he? We have times we're blessed in private and study of the Word and so forth. Communion with our Lord. But it's nothing like this, is it? Well, that's by design. That's by purpose. Because heaven's going to be a congregation, a great congregation of people. And is united in our hearts in love right now with Him, with one another. Hereby we know we've passed from death unto life. We love the brethren. Love to be around them. And our fellowship's with the Father, with the Son, with one another, isn't it? Oh. There's nothing. Love loves to share thing. You know, nothing like food. Food is... It may be the best food on earth, but if you eat it alone, say, boy, I wish somebody's here to share that, don't you? And you know, you come, you hear a message, or hear one on tape. I hear one, I say, boy, that was good. Just had somebody tell it to me, or share it with, or hear it with. That's good. Love seeketh not her own, just doesn't seek to be alone, that is. Nor does love seek its own rights and happiness, me, mine, and ours. Oh, no. Lord, putting aside those fleshly, earthly relationships. That's not growth in grace. Growth in grace is without partiality. Goes above flesh and blood. Heathen love flesh and blood. The mafia love one another. Family, you know. Oh, my. This is how you know. This is the true love of God. That's what our Lord said. Who is my mother? These are my mother. This is my brother. Seeketh not her own. Love is not easily provoked, verse 5. And if I'm adamant and dogmatic, I'm trying to pound this. I want the Lord to pound this in my chest. Love is not easily provoked. Oh, my. Our Lord, aren't you glad He's not easily provoked? Aren't you glad He's slow to wrath, slow to anger? Isn't that Him? Not easily provoked. That's love. Not touchy or resentful, easily offended. Now again, that's another word for self-love. Isn't it? Not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Love thinketh no evil. Not suspicious of or looking for faults. And what did he mean by that? What did she mean by that? She didn't speak to me. Well, and we're all guilty of this, aren't we? If we know one another for 20-some years, or 10, why would we think that? Huh? Why would we think that? That's just self-righteousness, what that is. Self-love. We ought to think, I don't deserve to be spoken to. Shouldn't I? I put that in the back of my, front of my Bible, not this one, another one, about killing, denying self. An anonymous writer, denying self. And one of the things was, when you're slighted, when you're ignored, when nobody pays attention to you, nobody call, you're not offended. You're not offended. That's self-denial. If you really hate yourself, if you really think you're less than the least, not fit to be called a disciple, you won't be easily provoked with you. Easily offended. Easily offended. I'll tell you this story. This is wonderful. I told y'all no. Brother Charlie Payne was such a wonderful man, wasn't he? A teacher and preacher and example in the church I grew up in. And loved him dearly. Tammy knew him well. Mindy and Dad and maybe some others knew him well. You probably knew him. One time, one of the couples were having a barbecue at their house. And he invited a bunch of people from the church. And he realized that he didn't have enough food, enough barbecue for all the people. So he called Charlie. He called Brother Charlie and said, "Brother Charlie, I hate to ask you this." He said, "I don't have enough. I've invited too many people." He said, "I don't have enough food." He said, "Would you mind not coming tonight?" And Charlie said, "You've paid me the highest compliment I've ever been paid in my life. That you would think I would not be offended by that." And he wasn't. You knew him, didn't you? He's just the man to ask not to come. I want to be like that. I don't deserve to be invited. Don't deserve. Not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Verse 5. Love thinketh no evil. Not suspicious. Looking for faults. He didn't mean that. Rejoiceth not in iniquity. Verse 6. Rejoiceth not in iniquity. Love is never glad when someone fails, someone falls, someone sins. That's not possible. Not only in your, it shouldn't be. It's not possible in your family and those you really love. But it shouldn't be that way even among people out in the world, our enemies and all that. I remember there was a man, a business owner, and one of our men worked for him for many years. He mistreated him terribly. Didn't pay him as he ought to, and he just wasn't a very good employer. And our brother was a very good employee, and he mistreated him something awful. Well, our brother found a better job, and I thought, you know what my thoughts were? I thought, well, I hope the Lord closes that man's business down. That was my first thought. But that's not a good way to think, is it? Huh? He's got a wife. Got children, maybe grandchildren. You got employees. Other people suffer. That's no way to be, is it? Our Lord said, "Love your enemies. Love your enemies. Don't rejoice in wanting it." The disciples one time said, "Let's call down fire from heaven." The Lord said, "That's you know not what manner of spirit you are. That's the wrong attitude." That's the attitude Paul was talking about in verse 11. He said, "I was a child, understood as a child, thought as a child." He's not talking about toys per se. He's talking about his understanding. He's talking about his speech. He's talking about his thoughts. He's talking about his attitude. Put away childish things. Over in verse chapter 14, he says, "Don't be children in understanding." In malice, yeah, but not in understanding. Be men. But let's understand that we don't rejoice in anybody falling. Anybody. In iniquity. The next thing, love rejoiceth in the truth. Let me go on to the next that goes along with this. Beareth all things. Love wants to get to the bottom, wants to know the truth, not hearsay, not rumor, not innuendo, not gossip. I want you to turn with me to Proverbs 10. It talks about bearing all things. Love beareth all things. Proverbs 10. The word beareth there means covereth. That's what it means. Proverbs 10. The word bear, love beareth all things. It means covereth. Love covereth, hideth, doesn't expose it. Love covers it. Proverbs 10, verse 12. Hatred stirreth up strife, but love covereth. What sins? All sins. Isn't that our Lord? Huh? When He went to Calvary's tree, made sin for us, says He, open not His mouth. Open not. Look at chapter 11, verse 13. We need to commit these to memory. Mark your Bible here. Don't forget this. Verse 13, a talebearer revealeth secret, but he that is of a faithful spirit, a Christ-like spirit, concealeth the matter. One more, chapter 17, verse 9. These are vital scriptures. All scriptures profitable, vital. But chapter 17, verse 9. Here it is, verse 9. He that covereth the transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth the matter. Why would he do that? There's only one reason. Make yourself look bad. Isn't it? Only one reason. To make ourselves. Did you hear what he did? I haven't done that. The Lord, they brought in a guilty woman one time. Everybody knew she was guilty. And she was the talk of the town. Everybody was talking about her. Martha. Everybody. Whispering, talking, there she is. And she was so ashamed. When it was all over, the Lord exposed them all and covered her. He covered her sins and exposed them all. You need your sins covered? You need the Lord to be silent? He knows you. He knows us, the thoughts and intents of our hearts. It's what we've thought since we've sat here. He knows us. You want Him to keep silent? Cover. Oh my. Lord help me. Lord help me. Had a brother whose son was an awful sin. Terrible fall. Just terrible. It's the worst you can imagine. And there's someone that was on the phone telling other people about it. I thought, if that was my daughter, I would not want it told. Would you? Would you? Let's just keep it quiet. And, you know, don't even listen. Don't ask. Don't tell. Don't even listen. Who's worse, the committer, the one who commits a crime, or one who, or the sin, or the one who perpetuates it? I keep telling it, revealing it. When we love somebody, we want to cover it. We want to cover it. Love believeth all things. Back in our text, verse 7. Love believeth all things. Brother Mahan said, it's better to believe the best about a brother and be disappointed then believe the worst and destroy your friendship. Because if you're suspicious and misconstrue and misunderstand all that, you're hurting the relationship. Right? Better to believe the best and be disappointed. And we will disappoint one another. All of us will, won't we? Terribly. And most of our misunderstandings are lack of communication, aren't they? Verse 7. Love hopeth all things. Oh, love never gives up, does it? Never gives up. Oh, I hope. Yeah, they're in bad shape now, but God's grace is. He done that for me. Consider it thine own self. Brother or sister, Scripture says provoke one another to love. And you know, there have been times when I thought a brother and sister, you know, didn't even like me. But I thought, I somehow or another, I want to make them like me. That's the attitude. I want to somehow, you know, provoke them. Love begets love. Love breeds love. God's love breeds love in us. And our love breeds love in another. You can't help but love somebody that's loving you. You can't help it. It's like you can't stay mad at somebody you're praying for. Pray for them. You know, all those things will fade, won't they? Endureth all things. Love endureth all things. Oh, my. To the end. We make that vow when we're married, don't we? In sickness or in health, in poverty or wealth, till death doeth part. Well, that, you know, that applies to the brotherhood. And that's sure our Lord, didn't it? Loved him to the end. Endureth all things. His love endures to the end. And we shouldn't expect much out of our brethren because our Lord doesn't expect much out of us, does he? That's a good way to think about it, isn't it? We shouldn't expect much out of sinners like us. Our Lord doesn't. Verse 8, charity, love never faileth. Never faileth. Endures to the end. Endures to the end. And oh, how I'd love to, you know, our Lord's love. What the world says about His love is a lie. God doesn't love everybody. If He did, then there'd be nobody in hell. Right? Love never faileth. You love somebody, you're not going to let them perish. You're not going to let them perish. If it was in my power to save all my loved ones, I would. Wouldn't you? It is in God's power. His love never faileth. Never faileth. And this love, and for your comfort, that love is there. I see it in you. I see it in you. And that love will not fail. What the Lord will perfect that which concerneth us. Yes, He will. And what was it David said? Lord, perfect the work now the work of my hand. And establish thou the work of my hand. Your work in me. Lord, perfect it. I want to grow up in love. I want to grow up into Christ in all things. I want to love like He loved. Well, there's only one way. Not by striving. Not by might. Not by power. But by His Spirit. That's the fruit of the Spirit. And we ask Him, Lord, cause me to grow in grace and the knowledge of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ who loved me like this. I want to love like that. And it will. He will. He will. It's not. It doesn't happen overnight. I told men then, I'm sorry, Dad, I'm going to say this. And I said, you know, love, growing in gracious and lovely, it must take 85 years. I watch them, how they treat people, and I think, well, if it takes that long, so be it. Let me live 85 years. And that's how long it takes. But it does happen. The Lord sheds abroad this love in the hearts of His people, and it'll never fail. It'll accomplish that. Let me put it there. So he says down in closing, he says in verse 12, we see through a glass darkly, we preach in part, and my, we'll have to preach this again in 6 months, won't we? We'll learn something more. And I'll fail, you'll fail. So we come back again. Lord, teach me. And now, verse 13, abideth faith, hope, and charity. These three. But the greatest of these is love. It's a fulfillment of the law. It's a royal law of Christ. It's a commandment. This is my commandment. Okay, stand with me.